time it happened. So this message this morning is brought to you by Starbucks Malaysia. And the reason for that is I've been on a coffee, somewhat of a coffee fast, although I didn't go without coffee because I ensured that I brought my own. But essentially, the only place that you can get any kind of hot beverage is Starbucks. And I call it a hot beverage because you wouldn't call it coffee, so hot chocolate. So this message comes from airport layover time in Starbucks. So we'll see how we go. I began to write some thoughts down that were on my heart for you this Sunday before we get into next week's series. So I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, starting verse 10. And I want to look at a verse of Scripture that perhaps you've read a number of times and relay some Sri Lanka stories in there and see what God would say to us. Psalm 51. You all turn there in your tablets. Who actually has a physical Bible? Wow, all the holy people. The Lord is pleased with you, O Holy One, that you have not sold out while I read on my tablet. Psalm 51, verse 10. David writes, "Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me." Context, David is writing Psalm 51 in response to Nathan the prophet coming to him and pointing out his sin. You know, it's interesting. David was called a man after God's own heart, yet David was the guy that got someone killed so he could get his wife. And so he has hidden this sin. He has conveniently hidden it. And like anything before God, nothing is hidden before God. God sends the prophet Nathan to call it out. And he's exposed and there's judgment that comes with it because we're in Old Testament times. And this is David's psalm response to that moment. And so when he says, "Creating me a clean heart," he's going, "God, I've got sin in my heart. There's stuff in my heart that needs to be cleansed." But then he says, "Renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit." So I want to talk to you this morning, a very simple thought this morning. It's a message you can just relax into. It's a very simple message. It's really this idea of keeping a right spirit. Keeping a right spirit in life. You know, you have a spirit. You are a three-part being, if you didn't know that. You are, what I see of you now is not all that I see of you. You are body, you are soul, and you are spirit. You are a triune being because we are made in the image of God. God is the Trinity. You are triune. So you have a soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You have a physical body, but you also have a spirit. You have a spirit. It's the eternal part of you. It's the place that God connects with. And so it's really important in life that you keep your spirit right. That's what I want to talk on this morning. While I was over in Sri Lanka, one of the things that I always do towards the end of the trip is I sit down with Pastor Stephen Joseph and I just ask him to give me honest feedback. Each year I don't want to be arrogant in assuming that what we're doing is making a difference. I want to make sure I hear from them. Are we helping you? Is this a difference? What's the spirit of the team like? Are you happy with us? Can we do things differently? And so he was thrilled. He's like, "No, I love what you're doing. Every time you bring a team, it's incredible." And then towards that, I always ask Stephen then to give me personal feedback. He's a mentor to me, and I allow him to speak into my heart and just give me feedback. And so I'm like, "Stephen, speak into me, because I've been coming for over 10 years to your country, and I don't want to assume that the way I've been doing things is the right way to do things into the future." So I'm like, "Stephen, what..." And part of the question I asked him was, "Should I keep coming? Because I've been going a long time now and it's a cost to go." And I'm like, "Stephen, do you want me to keep coming? Or am I better off just sending?" And he said, "No, Brad, I want you to keep coming. We need you to keep coming." And I said, "Oh, could you tell me why?" And he said, "Oh..." And I say this to you in humility. It's not an arrogant thing at all. He said, "Brad, we love your spirit. It's your spirit." He says, "You have a good spirit. The people love your spirit. It's not even really in what you do or in your gifting. It's your spirit that we love." And I took that as a really good comment and a really good feedback in life that he could discern something of my spirit. And the truth is, it's really important in life that you keep a right spirit, because the theme of your spirit will flow into the theme of your life. Your spirit, you've got to keep your spirit right. David has recognized that in this section of his life, that not only had his heart had sin in it, it had become, his spirit had become unright, if that makes sense. His spirit wasn't right, because the world will teach you that life is lived from the outside in. The truth is, life is lived from the inside out. Think about that. What you think and believe what's going on in the inside will always find its way into the outside. The world says, no, life is lived on the outside. Get a lot of money, buy a house, look good, be popular, then you'll be happy. But Christianity teaches the absolute opposite, that inside affects the outside. And so your spirit is your inner world. I'm referring to your inner man, the deepest part of you, the part of you where God communes with you. When you were born again, you were born again of the spirit. Your flesh wasn't born again. Your spirit was renewed. It was, you connected with God and you were born again spiritually. And now we're on this journey of life of trying to put the flesh under control and get the soul to line up with the spirit. And that's the journey of Christianity we are on. But your spirit is where God's spirit dwells. So it's very important that you keep a right spirit in life, because I said before, everything is affected by the condition of your spirit. I'm going to say to you this morning that the condition of your life right now is being influenced by the condition of your spirit. It is. Proverbs 4:23 says, we should guard our heart with all diligence. Now, when you read the Bible, heart and spirit is often interchanged. You know, guard it. You've got to take care of that inner part. Now, if it's possible to have a right spirit in life, that means it's possible to have a wrong spirit. And I want to put some examples up of some wrong spirit conditions. Now, I'm not going to teach all these. I'll just say a couple of things about each. But I've just written some things down, some spirit conditions that people can get. If we can just put the next slide up. I've seen people get a... It's not there? No, not point one. Slide before that. I've seen people develop a crippled spirit. A crippled spirit where something happens to them in life and it cripples their spirit. I've seen people get a wounded spirit. Proverbs 18:4 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Let me put it in Brad talk. Someone with a wounded spirit, they're really hard to get along with. People who've got a lot of wounding on the inside, they're difficult because they've got a lot of pain that's accumulated and they haven't dealt with it and processed it. So therefore, they get a wounded spirit. I've seen people have an orphan spirit. I had an orphan spirit. I believe the orphan spirit is the greatest curse on the earth today. People that don't have a spiritual father. And when I say that, I'm talking about God our Father. Who don't know God as Father. Fatherlessness is the greatest curse on the earth today. It's a part of the sin condition. I had an orphan spirit when I first got saved. I've seen people with an offended spirit. Offense in their spirit. Just offended, offended, offended. I'll say more about that later. Have you ever met anyone with a bitter spirit? Let me just say something about bitterness. There's always a reason to be bitter in life. Always. In fact, outside the kingdom, bitterness is reasonable. You just have to call it something else as a Christian to get away with it. I'm naughty today. Bitter spirit. I've seen people with a critical spirit. You know, people that just judge. And it was pointing out fault and pointing the finger, critical spirit, critical spirit. And I've seen people with a polluted spirit. James 1:27 says to get rid of the pollution of sin and worldliness. I'm just pointing out conditions and there are more. And this is not to beat anybody up. But what I'm trying to say to you is if you don't look after the condition of your spirit, these things can take a hold. And all of a sudden, those characteristics of your spirit can outplay itself in your life. 1 Corinthians 14:32 says an interesting thing. Paul writes, the spirits of prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. That's interesting because you and I have spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit manifests through us. He works through us. But Paul is saying that the condition of your spirit will affect the spirit gift that God has given you. So have you ever met somebody who's gifted? They're gifted, they can say all the right things, they can sing, they can play a guitar, they can do it all, but behind it, you just feel like the spirit of it isn't right. You ever seen that? It pollutes their gifting. I've come to realize that my gifting and my God-given abilities will all be affected by the condition of my spirit. You know, it's funny, listening to ministers and listening to a whole bunch of people over the years that I've been in church life, I've heard new things, but there's something when... I've heard people say the same thing multiple times. But where the power is when someone with the right spirit says it. You know what I mean? So you can say the right thing, but say it with the totally wrong spirit. And so your spirit's important. I'm setting this up because I want to ask you a question this morning. What is the condition of your spirit? Because Who you are will come through in what you do. It will. It'll come through. In the Old Testament, it's an interesting story when the people of Israel, God says to Moses, he says to Moses, I'm going to put your spirit on them. He doesn't say, I'm going to put my spirit. He says, I'm going to put your spirit. There's something about your spirit, Moses, I really like. And so I want to put it on them. And so your spirit is important. It's not more important than the Holy Spirit, but it's important the condition of your spirit is healthy. In fact, if you want to know what the condition of your spirit is this morning, check your attitude. It's so convicting. Attitudes reveal the condition of your spirit. Your attitude in response to life is what's flowing from your spirit. You ever met bitey people? They're just bitey all the time. They're just sensitive. They're cynical. They respond. They lash out. It's a spirit condition, and it's flowing through. I'm not talking about you having a bad hair day. You're just having a bad day because someone cut you off in traffic. I'm talking about recurring attitudes that don't seem to go away. It's flowing from your spirit. And so you have to take personal responsibility. Write this down. This is so important. I'm passionate about this because I've worked so hard in life to keep a right spirit because you and I have an enemy who wants to hijack our spirit. And the reason he wants to hijack our spirit is so he can sabotage our future. If he can get your spirit, he can get your future. Because the condition of your spirit determines how far you go in Christendom. It's true. Proverbs 25, 28 says this, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. And as you have to guard your spirit, you have to have rulership over it. What governs your spirit? You have to guard it because in Bible times, if a city lost its walls, it made it defenseless and vulnerable to attack. So he's saying, if you don't take care of the condition of your spirit, you are easy pickings for the devil. It means life can come at you. People can say things at you. They can have a go at you, but you can't let it get into your spirit. It's really, really important. Your spirit is the key to your future, church. It's just helping you. I'm trying to get it into you because my prayer as a church, whether or not we ever have, whatever this church looks like in the future, whatever it becomes, whatever size it is, wherever we meet, God forbid we ever get a wrong spirit. I don't care whether I've got 50 people or 5,000 people. I want the spirit of the church right. I want my spirit to stay right. It'll make way for you in life. Do you know that keeping a right spirit will open doors of opportunity? It will. Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, it says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. So therefore, it was this quality that changed the way that King Nebuchadnezzar looked upon Daniel, and he was favored and promoted as a result. People will promote you and favor you when they discern a right spirit. That's what makes the difference between you and somebody else. It's like when I'm looking to raise up leaders and I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking to who, God, who are you moving? I look for someone with a sweet spirit. Who's got a right spirit? I don't, you know, the gifting is one thing. Whoop-de-doo, you're gifted. But have you got a right spirit? Have you got a good heart? That's so important. People get promoted. There's something about people with a right spirit where you can sense it in someone. You're drawn to them. In fact, here's a sign of whether or not you've been around someone with the right spirit. You don't walk away feeling like you want to go have 5,000 coffees. You feel built up. You walk away going, that was good. I feel better from that coffee. You know, some people in life, you walk away, you just go, oh, man, that was draining. And I'm not trying to rip anybody off because I've probably been that to somebody. But the truth is, you know when you've been around someone with a good spirit because you will be better off having been around them. You'll feel energized. You'll feel closer to God. You'll feel more passionate about God. Really important that you get around people with the right spirit. And so this morning, I want to talk to you this morning about seven quick ways, and I'm going to go through them very quickly, on keeping a right spirit. Because if you look after your spirit, you can rise above any difficult circumstance you face. All right, here's the seven things. I'll go through quickly. The first one is these won't be that, you know, groundbreakingly new, but just good reminders. The first thing is you have to stay close to God. Duh. But it's amazing how many people drift away, and their spirit suffers. Your spirit was created to commune with God. Proverbs says that the man's spirit is the candle of the Lord. It's the place that God connects with you. When we say I'm connecting with God, it's your spirit and his spirit. Your spirit was made for connection with the Holy Spirit. And once you substitute that, you spiritually begin to die. Nothing will substitute it. I don't care how much money. I don't care what you do. Nothing will fill that void the way the Spirit will. And so once you begin to move away from the Holy Spirit, your spirit can be polluted with the world. All of a sudden, the world starts creeping in, the world's attitudes, the world's values start coming into your spirit, and it could be that I've just drifted away from God a little bit in my secret time. In fact, I always say to people, cultivate a secret place. Cultivate a secret place with God. What do I mean by a secret place? Jesus, when he walked the earth, it says he would retreat to the mountainside to pray. He had a place to get alone with the Father. It could be physical, it could be spiritual, but I've got one or two places on the Central Coast that I just go to get alone with God. I have to, because the moment I neglect that, I get too self-assured. One of the ways that I know that I need to come back is I'm starting to get too cocky and too confident in my own strength. I've got to come back to that secret place. A secret place is a place of intimacy, honesty, and vulnerability with God. Have you got that place in your life regularly that you go to, that secret place? It'll keep your spirit right. Amen? The second thing, this is really important to me, is stay broken. Stay broken. Stay broken. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Let me just say right up front, a broken spirit is not the same as broken emotions. There's a lot of brokenness in this world that's very unhealthy. Brokenness is the condition, the sin effect on your heart and your soul. I'm talking about a humble brokenness before the Lord. I'm going to say something straight up. Pride and arrogance is ugly. There should be no room for it in the kingdom. In fact, the Bible says that the one thing God opposes more than anything is pride. Do you know he says that he opposes the proud? So if you've got pride in your life, that's the area that God himself is coming against you. Wow. Because he just despises it. Because pride sets us up. I don't need God. I don't need God. I'm good. You can't tell me what to do. And I just think that just gets your spirit all knotted up and it just takes your spirit into a place. Stay in a place of brokenness and sensitivity to his heart. Stay broken. I'm not talking about self-criticism. That's different. When you just think by running yourself down and I'm so this, I'm this, you think somehow that's broken. That's not. That's a different thing altogether. I'm talking about just being broken before the Lord. I refuse to allow pride, arrogance, and self-sufficiency to run my life. And I've learned this. There are two pathways to humility. And God forbid we choose the right one. You can humble yourself, or you can let God's circumstances humble you. You choose. I'll take the first, thanks. I'd rather that, because I've seen the latter. And God doesn't do it to punish. He just does it for our good. He does it for our good. I'll never forget as a young leader, having some counselling actually, some prayer counselling, and sitting with a mentor and this lady, and she looked at me and she said, "Brad, there's pride in your life." Thanks. And I said, "What? Me? What are you talking about? There's no pride." And she looked at me and she said, "That's pride." I'll never forget it, because we all have it. We all have it. It's just a degree we have it. And so stay broken, stay humble. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. God will always promote and exalt the humble person. Humble, broken person. Brokenness of spirit. Cool? Third thing is this, and I think this is a flow on from staying broken, is stay teachable. I've just worked really hard in my life at staying teachable. And in fact, let me put it this way, stay correctable. Who loves us being told what to do? You love it. Woohoo! Stay teachable. That's one of the main signs you're humble, because staying teachable to God and his word and staying teachable to the people that God has placed in your life is a sign that you have a broken, humble spirit. Don't forget, David wrote Psalm 51 in response to being called out by the prophet Nathan. So what was his response there? You're right. I humble myself. He received the word. He could have rejected Nathan the prophet, but he received that word. And so James 21:21 says, get rid of all moral filth. And that's great. Get rid of the moral filth in your life this morning. And the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let's read that again. humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The word you receive is the word that changes you. Not the word you read, the word you receive. You can read this all day. Forgive my neighbor, love my wife, give. Yeah. It's not until you receive it into your spirit that it'll change you. And you can't receive God's word without humility. And so that's really, really important. Stay humble, stay broken. If you become unteachable, you become unusable. The moment you become unteachable, you become unusable. How can you grow? I don't need to grow. No one can tell me what to do. Who in your life speaks into you? Who you know, it's just an important question for you. And I think one of the signs that we're humble and we're broken is when we listen and ask questions. Jesus, I love the story when Jesus is 12 years old and he's at the temple and his parents have lost him. And what is he doing? He's sitting there. I could tell you if I had more time about the significance of being 12. He was about to start because you want to hear it now, don't you? I haven't got time. Jewish boys, when they're 12, it's a very pivotal time. But here he is in the temple and he's sitting and the Bible says he's listening to the Jewish rulers, the Pharisees, the teachers, and asking questions. The Son of God listening and asking questions. Keep asking questions in life. Ask questions. If you stop asking questions, you stop learning. After I just had 2 weeks ministering overseas and I was spending some time with these pastors in Malaysia. I just preached in their city service and they gave me the opportunity to speak into their teams and their best people. And we're having tea, weren't we, Bruce? We're just sitting with those guys that night and I said to them, we're just chatting away. And she said something to me again. I'm just asking for feedback. And she said, you know, Brad, the reason we invite you to come and speak into our people, because I was interested in why. She said, the reason we always invite you and we trust our people with you is that when you come, you ask questions. You come to learn. You don't come to tell us how it is. You come to learn. And I've just found that's kept my spirit right. I never want to come in and go, I know the whole deal. I don't know everything. So I want to keep asking questions and stay right in my spirit. Okay, keep moving quick. Next one. I won't stay long on this because you all hate this point. But you must stay free from offense. I'm serious. Stay free from offense. Of all the things that I see people get taken out in kingdom, it's this. Oh boy, oh boy. Offense cripples people's spirits like nothing else. Jesus said it was impossible that offense wouldn't come. It's impossible. If you're going to go through life and never get offended, listen, I was only going to say, put your hand up if I've offended you. But the percentage could be too large. I knew there'd be one person that put their hand up. I want to say something to you in love. Getting offended isn't a choice. It's not. Staying offended is. It is. If you stay offended, it's a choice. And it's arrogance at its core. Because to stay offended is to hold a grudge against someone, forgetting that Jesus never held a grudge against you. And that you were offending somebody else at some point in your life. And so in my spirit, I just try to forgive, forgive, forgive. And it's a journey sometimes, and it's not always instantaneous. And sometimes you need God's help, and it's a journey that we go on. But just stay from offense in Jesus' name. All right, stay in gratitude. Stay in gratitude. Don't let entitlement, jealousy, or disappointment to get into your spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Not give thanks for the circumstance. Give thanks in all circumstances. Let's just humbly receive that word for a second. Just think about right now the difficult circumstance you're in right now. The hardest thing you've faced this year. He's saying, give thanks in it. Whoa, awesome. But you know why that is so powerful? It's because it keeps your spirit right. You know, every single night I ask my kids to say thanks to their mum for dinner. Just a little thing. We say grace, and then I get them to thank their mum for dinner. Not so much because Amy needs to hear it or it's nice. It's for them. It's for them. It's for them. So they never get entitlement. Do you know thankfulness always precedes increase? Jesus, when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, the Bible says that he took the loaves, looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks, and then it multiplied. God will not increase you until you are thankful for what you have. Thankfulness is so important and it guards you against familiarity and complacency. I can't tolerate complacency and familiarity. God forbid if we ever get complacent and familiar. And yet that was the very thing I experienced this last trip to Sri Lanka. Can I be really honest and vulnerable with you? So as the band come, I think they're there. I've been going to that place 12 years. I've gone a lot of times. It's very difficult after you've been going to a place like that for a long time to keep it fresh and to keep finding the reasons to keep paying a cost and leaving family and dealing with the stuff over there and dealing with the challenges and not thinking, I've seen it, I've been there, I've done all this. And so I was struggling the first 3 days, just in myself. Like, how do I keep this fresh for me, God? Something has to get fresh. And I went down and I went to God with it because I knew immediately that that was going to get into my spirit and it would affect the trip. So I went to the Holy Spirit that morning. And I'm like, God, just show me, Holy Spirit, why am I feeling this way? And he straight into my heart said, you have become familiar with this place. You've become familiar. You've taken it for granted. I want you to intentionally, from this day, I think it was the third day in the trip, begin to look at everything new for the first time. See people, see the scenery, and begin to be thankful. You know, as a young Christian and as a young leader, I prayed and asked God to send me to the nations. And here I am, the privilege to speak to people, and here I am becoming familiar. And the moment that encounter happened with the Holy Spirit and I repented of that, because I had to repent of that, I turned around and right behind me, there's this guy and he was like dressed up in like, they were going to a wedding, him and his family, him and his wife, three children. And immediately I feel the Holy Spirit draw me to this young man over here. And we ended up in this conversation. It turns out he's a Hindu guy from a town not far from where we were. And he was up there and he began to ask what we were doing there, why we come, what our story. I got to share the gospel with that guy. I got to share the love of Jesus Christ and sow something into his seed. Sorry, show the seed of the gospel into that man's heart. I have no doubt that if I kept in familiarity and complacency, I would have missed that moment. And so here's the thing. If you ever get out of gratitude and you get familiar, if you come into church and go, this church, just the presence of God, just the Bible, you will stop receiving. It's true. Never get familiar with anything in the kingdom, ever. And last point is this, and then we'll close on this. Stay sacrificial. Stay sacrificial. You go, what do I mean? Well, the Bible says to make sacrifices to God. It talks about Romans 12 says, let your bodies be a living sacrifice. It talks about bringing a sacrifice of praise. I'm not talking about sacrifice to earn God's love because sacrifice finished in the Old Testament. Jesus was the sacrifice. However, it doesn't take the principle of sacrifice away. Sacrifice keeps your spirit, gives it an edge. In other words, what I'm saying is don't ever get comfortable. Don't get cruisy. Don't get comfortable. The problem is that once was once a sacrifice to give, now becomes easy. So you have to let your sacrifice grow with you. Because before, some of us are just so cruisy. We want life to be all about us and it's got to fit this and it's got to fit my lifestyle and this and that. And we've lost the heart of sacrifice. And yet, sacrifice keeps your spirit right. It really, really does. And so I refuse to allow apathy, mediocrity and complacency to govern my spirit. I hate apathy. Hate it with a passion. Apathy, in my opinion, is just a scourge on the Western church. This thought, how could we ever get apathetic with the God of the universe? How could I ever become casual with the gospel? How could I ever? I was going to hell without him for eternity. That's the truth. And he saved me and forgave me and gave me a new life. We ought to spend the rest of our lives living sacrificially for the King, not to earn anything, but just in some way to live a life that reflects the sacrifice he paid. Would you stand with me this morning? I know I preached a bit longer. How's your spirit? I get more direct when I travel to Sri Lanka. Renew a right spirit in me, Lord. Just close your eyes. Let's just do business with the Holy Spirit. David prayed and said, renew a right spirit. I don't want you to think this morning that it's all based on works. It's all based on what you have to do. Because it is a work of the Holy Spirit, but he does need your cooperation. I just want you to have an honest moment with the Holy Spirit and just ask him. Say, Lord, what's my spirit like? What's the condition of my spirit like? Show me, Jesus. Just repent if anything has got into your spirit, if offense, anger, cynicism, sarcasm, apathy, it comes into my spirit at times. I'm with you. I'm standing with you. I'm not preaching at you. Just repent of that. Let the Holy Spirit now renew. Just let Him renew your spirit. If you get your spirit right, your life will flow right. Just get your spirit right, Jesus. If you keep your spirit right, there's nothing you won't bounce back from, and there's nothing that you can't overcome. And just as we finish, I wonder if there's anyone in this room this morning who has never met the living Spirit, Jesus. You know, 1 Corinthians says that Christ is a life-giving Spirit. I'll just finish with this because there was a story in Sri Lanka that really touched me. Leanne and I were praying for this girl in the hills. She was a Hindu lady, wasn't a Christian, and she came forward for prayer because she had lost 3 babies in the womb. And I don't want to scare you, but the truth of the reason that happened was she worships false gods and she's involved in the demonic in the Hindu, and that's the reason that happened. That's, some of you might be going, that might be challenging you, but that is the truth. Let's not be naive. It's a spiritual realm over there. There's horrendous things that happen in that place, the spiritual strongholds that happen. And it was amazing to see her face as Leanne and Pastor Stephen were sharing Jesus, that Jesus is a life-giving Spirit. He gives life. He doesn't take away life. He's life-giving. He brings life. And you this morning mightn't be in a situation like that, but perhaps you feel like you've got death some part of your life. There's just things that have died. Life, there's death in your life in some area. I want to say to you that Jesus is a life-giving Spirit. It always brings life. Every encounter with the Lord is a breath of life. You'll always come away feel fresh, not stale, with the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, if you want to receive that life-giving Spirit, Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand just while I can see. This is your step of faith. You want to be born again. Born again. The Bible says you cannot be saved unless you are born again of the Spirit. Not with your intellect, with your spirit. Just raise your hand so I can see. Say, yeah, Jesus. See this man's hand going up. It's fantastic. Jesus is, your spirit is being born again. Eternal life. Salvation has come to you. That's as simple as that. I see this hand over here. That's fantastic. This young lady, born again in the Spirit. Come on, let's give Jesus praise. This is from death to life. Let's pray with these. Let's pray with these two beautiful people. Let's just close our eyes and we're just going to pray and we'll finish. So, dear Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross. I thank you that you died on the cross that I might live. I thank you, Lord, that all of my sin has now been forgiven. I thank you that I'm now white as snow. My past is gone. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I want to be born again. I now want to live for you. I want to make you Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for your friendship all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, church.